Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Dan Platt, and Dan is running on the Green Party line for County Executive of Albany County. Dan, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
How's the campaign going?
It's all right. Everyone I talk to is very positive. Everyone wants choice. Everyone wants more options. They like what's on my platform, tackling issues of poverty, inequality, environmental damage, and it's called the Green Way Forward. Basically, it's democratizing our institutions, everything government-related, and making government more participatory.
Okay, you just outlined a number of issues. Can you explain each of the things that you just said and how it affects the people in Albany County?
Okay, what usually affects people a lot is taxes. So one of the sections of my platform has to do with changing our taxes, make them more progressive. And one of the main things that can be done is to shift off of a little background. Most of county taxes are sales, like 2/3, and then the other 1/3 is property. So, and property is rather aggressive because whether you're retired or not, doesn't matter your income is. You can be house rich and income poor. So an old person can be paying a lot in property taxes even though their incomes are just basically meager. So shift off of property and sales taxes with income taxes, more progressive fees and fines, if possible, and go that route. And if that's not, and that's too heavy a lift, though, all political change requires movements and people power. There's also, we can make property taxes themselves more progressive with a kind of a flat money, flat dollar exemptions, meaning the first, say, $10,000 of your property taxes, maybe not 10,000, depends, but instead of a percentage, it's an amount, it's a lump amount that's of your property value that's untaxed.
Okay, what are the other issues you mentioned?
I mentioned homelessness and rather home housing costs. There's a few.
Okay, how?
Yeah.
Go, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. There's a few paths to take. I particularly like the land trust in Albany, and to give some background on that, it's a organization, collective organization, that owns the land around, say, in a neighborhood, and it works best in the community scale, and you lease a long-term lease for a house. So it's like you own the house but not the land on it. And what this does is it means that land and housing stays in community control. And it's through this kind of collective ownership that we can have more ownership of homes that stays away from the individualistic, you're on your own approach of everyone getting a bank loan and subprime mortgages, and that's what led, that's what one of the causes of the previous crisis in housing. And housing costs have risen up back to 2006 levels now, but yet our incomes are stagnant. So that is one, and that's an important issue.
Okay, yesterday I drove down Second Avenue. There are so many houses there that are vacant that nobody lives in. How would you deal with that? I mean, if there's homelessness and there's vacant houses, what would you do to remedy that situation?
So usually the solutions have to do with doing two things. The usual solution, and this usually is coupled with growing the tax base, which is attracting people of higher means and income to the area to invest. And what this usually does is it prices out the people currently living there. So you're replacing higher income residents and displacing the lower income residents. This is not the path I would take. And the other is to basically spend money directly on rehabs. The other path is what the land bank is doing, which has the vacant properties that the county collects. It has a lump sum of money, and it gives out a small portion of money, $5,000, for basically roof repair to stabilize the houses and then sell at a good rate to local people first. But that means that the local people have to have the money in hand. This can be relieved with a public bank, and this goes into the fact that to control our own economic destinies, we need control of our own money. And it doesn't mean printing our own currency, but simply having our own source of dollars. Because if there's any unlimited resource, it's the fact that you can print money. Because right now, money is controlled by private interests. Banks print the money, not print the money, but they create the money anytime they give out a loan. And then it's the government that simply prints the money and says that they're good for it, even if, say, 70% of all the money that's loaned out is done nothing. So a public bank starts with a little bit and loans out locally to, say, new homeowners who would that would be much more effective in financing local projects and, of course, rehabs and rehab housing. And new housing, of course, too, which then brings up the topic of, and I'm jumping around, but it's important because there's a lot of different ways of lowering housing costs. One way is to reduce the restrictions around. There's minimum house sizes. There's restrictions on accessory units. And this is one of the things that we're trying to address in the rezoning effort, but even that just is on a little shaky. People are uncomfortable with this stuff. But it's very important to keep an open mind. And the overall goal is to have a large enough housing stock that lowers prices, that basically meets demand. Because at the moment, we have a market market economy that does not prioritize needs. It prioritizes people's ability to flip properties, speculate, and generally make money and not house everyone.
And you mentioned a couple of more issues.
There's definitely the bomb trains. And related to the bomb trains are the pipelines. And these are basically, so we banned fracking here in New York, jolly good for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we are currently on track to build, not us personally, but on track for the building of pipelines to carry Pennsylvania frack gas across the state into the ports in Boston and elsewhere for export. Because the company in particular, Kinder Morgan, does not have any domestic customers. And Kinder Morgan, it's important to point out, the Morgan half of that company, which is a Texas company, Morgan is the former CEO of Enron. Not so much a problem, but just indicative that the man who partly responsible for all the suffering that Enron caused takes several years to be indicted, spends maybe a year or so in country court prison, and then goes back to making his billions, which is a example of an economy that does not, we talk about opportunity, but the one basically who gets to play the game are the ones that holding all the cards, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Mixing my metaphors, I guess.
No.
So on the pipelines, so there are local efforts to block them, and they're doing okay. But obviously, they need Albany County is one of the few counties that have not publicly come out against them. All the rural areas are passing resolutions. Albany County has not. Though there was the recent victory, small victory anyway, of a new ordinance that if the pipeline builders are going to blast any ground, they have to make sure that the ground is cleaned up. which significantly is an impediment, especially around, we already have seven, what are they called? Basically, bodies of water polluted enough that you can't swim in them. The Hudson is included in that, but there are also several reservoirs as well.
Okay, so how, besides Focus on Albany and coming on my show a couple of times, how are you getting your message out?
A new development is I've started a YouTube channel, and under the office like yourself, that if it's not being done right, do it yourself. I've basically gone to inform the voters and the citizens and anyone else about issues relating to the county executive, like what does the county executive do, what does county government do, and I'm going to go issue by issue through my platform and make videos for each of those things over the next month. And that's at Left Green Occupier. And the other way to get the word out, of course, is through debates. And right now, there are none planned. So I'd like, you know, it would be great if we could have a debate between me, Dan McCoy, and the Republican candidate, Joe Valeo, here on your program or elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to be on Capital Connection this Friday.
Good. So I will contact the Republican candidate. I will also contact Dan McCoy's office, and hopefully they will debate and we can hear the issues that you just articulated from the other.
Another area is food, in fact, you know, the basic necessities of life, and the fact and the reality that we're always talking about, and particularly the two main parties, about scarcity, that we don't have enough of anything. When we could have an economy of abundance if we reprioritized people's needs first, you know, needs over greed. And part of that is the fact that, you know, many counties, many states import a lot of their food. What were to happen if the droughts in California got worse? Half of the food that's in the supermarkets comes from other countries, other in California. And our breadbasket in the middle of the country, which is rapidly running out of water. But we have plenty of water here, and we have enough land, especially if we decide with regional land use planning to have a county economy abundance based on the value of our land, you know, have currency based on value. Actual value, the value of things, the value of us. And so we could increase the amount of food we grow here, and that could lower prices. It also, you know, lowers costs of getting around. Because food, at the end of the day, should be free, as well as other basic goods. Rights are, to argue about rights is a moral argument. It's mostly an end one. But it's about thinking about happiness as the main economic indicator. Putting happiness before everything else. Even things like freedom are seen as means to make us more happy. But we should always put happiness first. How happy are people? Not always how rich in money, but rich in character, rich in family, rich in life.
You're talking about a mindset that people have grown up with. I mean, you're in your 20s, I'm a baby boomer, and these things have been slowly and very greatly indoctrinated into our brains, either by the mass media, you know, commercials and so forth.
Marketing. Yeah.
How do you think you can change a mindset and get people to think differently? And I want to give you a good example of that, and that's the Amish White Co-op. You know, the co-op was started about 40 years ago with a group of community-minded individuals who wanted to start a buyer's club to make food, good food, accessible to its members. Well, it's turned into this corporate terrible store where the people are not really, they have no say, although it's, labeled as a co-op, and it's become so corporatized that over the years it's slowly changing, slowly changing. So my premise is that things don't change sometimes for the better, it's for the worse. How would you address that?
Well, I can speak to that. So the causes of what you're referring to, kind of speak to two issues. One, because of the new store they built, they are in a lot of debt. Just like our colleges, our municipalities, our government, we've taken on a lot of debt because when it comes down to it, value just isn't being actually created. It's created in terms of dollars for banks, for interest, but not for us. And the co-op is included in that. So colleges have to raise tuition, and co-ops or other stores need to raise prices. The other side is the fact that I don't know how its structure has evolved or devolved, but the structure of the co-op currently is that it has a non-elected board, and then the board appoints the leadership committee. So, and then the leadership committee then makes proposals, which are then voted on.
Dan, the board is elected. The board is elected. It's elected by its members, yes.
So, mm-hmm. Then why are they making, well, they seem to be making decisions detrimental to the, well, they want to, I know the recent development is that they are. Well, it's getting into minutiae, but I just want to make the overall point that it's still a hierarchy of a board, then a leadership committee, and then everybody else. And then there's a hierarchy of workers. There are paid workers, member workers, and then members. And these hierarchies create inequalities. It's systematic. It's a systematic issue. And I was having a conversation on Facebook about this, where someone was saying, beware systematic change because it's going to lead to a civil war or something drastic like that. But it's just the reality that we have systematic issues to deal with, issues that have to do with how things are. You know, when it is what it is, we're talking about a systematic issue. And that requires systematic thinking, which is, changing your worldview one step at a time. And one does that. With propaganda is usually a bad word, usually has a negative connotation, but the propaganda of the marketing machine, as it were, of the Don Drapers, the Mad Men, there's counter propaganda to be done. So my YouTube videos, all the Facebook groups that share articles, make their own posts and organize their own meetings, they are doing counter-propaganda. It's all about, it's you can think of it as a war, but it's basically a conflict between ideas. It's called we usually call it the marketplace of ideas. But we always have to make everything, a shopping metaphor. But that means that there's a shop with all the ideas on a shelf, and people see them all at once. And that's usually not the case, because the people with the scarcity mindset have all the resources to basically advertise, and then also buy our politicians as well to give them the mindset that there's only so much money to spend, only so much value that can be gained, only so much money that can be taxed. If we simply tax the rich more or tax the people who have the means to pay more, who have had their taxes significantly reduced over the last half century, municipalities would not be as cash-strapped as they are. It's also a matter of reprioritizing. My friend, a friend of mine who's an artist, was reacting to a little scuffle between a police officer in downtown Albany and a street musician, and with a particular name for it, but that escapes me. But the general gist of it is that the city of Albany puts a lot of money, $50 million, into policing and enforcement and criminalizing and not public projects and attractions to attract to the city in general. Even the new high school in Albany, there's this narrative with anything public about security. We're in a different time. There are dangers out there. These dangers are overblown. It's a culture of fear. You know, scarcity is also about fear. Fear that you won't have enough. Fear that our resources will be choked off and fear of not having a job. And these are fears that we have to get over if we're to have ownership over ourselves, over our homes, over our jobs. And that's the mindset I'll bring to the office. And it will affect every program, every proposal that will come forward.
Now, you're basically getting your message out through social media. Has the mainstream media picked up on what you're doing and given you a lot of exposure, some exposure or no exposure?
No. WMAC, I don't know if they count, but they're about to give me some exposure. And once I share more, and I've been asking others to share anything, yes, there's definitely a new media campaign because the old media, I've come to just call it, everyone calls it mainstream media, lamestream media. I just call it the for-profit media. It's very important that all your news sites even, so it's internet too, they're for-profit models. They're in it to make money. Even if it's not the original stated goal, the rules of the game that they're playing are profit maximization. That's why I really like the news that the company Kickstarter, the guys in charge of that, the owners of it, the guys who started it for very public and community-minded reasons, have started to notice that they're making a lot of money and they don't want to turn into monsters. So they have reformed their company with new documentation to be a benefit corporation. And I don't know the exact particulars. I'm not that kind of lawyer. But I do know that it's a different set of rules, which does not keep them in heed to a bank and profit maximization. They can do things the way they want. And the proceeds, any profits they make, are more, there's more wiggle room for them to spend it philanthropically and keep things balanced and community-minded.
So we have about a month and a half. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And just add that. That's the kind of thing that I'd like to see more of. Local businesses, even if they're not co-ops, corporations. You can make your income, make an income, and make money, and build wealth, build new wealth, importantly, rather than trying to drain it from elsewhere. Many policies are about attracting money, money outside of us. Why don't we focus on building ourselves? Doing things for the local, for people who already live here, and not visiting rich people. But so more of those types of a diversity of a business climate that's diversity of types of businesses, and not just what they sell or what they what kind of services they provide, but a diversity in the rules they follow, diversity in the legal structures they have. The kinds of structures, you have the Osway Food Co-op, which is not a completely worker run, because it was a buyer's club first. It's a consumer co-op. So the worker policies are very much non-defined almost, and that's why they can almost they've be able been able to shift into kind of this corporate role of fighting unionization. Although I know the workers have just formed an IWW, so, and that's always an option for any worker.
So there's about a month and a half left to go in the race. What will you be doing during that month and a half to get your message out, number one? And number two, how can people contact you who want to get involved in your campaign for county executive?
Okay, so the lines of contact are important because I've been putting together a schedule for a tour of sorts for between libraries and events. Let me get out to where I'm currently. Oh, yes. So I'm going to be at the Bethlehem Library Friday the 23rd. So, well, rather than give a whole list, I have a calendar on my website. That's www.plattforalbany.net. On Facebook, you can find me at Platt for Albany County Exec. Twitter handle is Platt for Albany. And a voicemail number is 712-9466. And you can find more information on the Green Party at web.gpnys.com.
Okay. Thanks, Sam. Hopefully we'll have a debate with the Republican candidate and also the county executive, and hopefully a lot of issues can be articulated. Thanks so much, Dan. You have a great day. And in the closing moments, is there anything else you want to add?
Just that be well, vote green and not machine, and love and power.
Thanks, Dan. We'll talk again. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and download Focus on Albany on your smartphone. Listen anytime, anywhere. Have a great day, everybody.